I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Blessed Jesus, I appreciate you. Blessed Jesus, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Blessed Jesus, I appreciate you.
Holy Spirit, you abide in my heart. Holy Spirit, you abide in my heart. I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Holy Spirit, you abide in my heart. Blessed Jesus, you are coming, you are coming for me. Blessed Jesus, you are coming, you are coming for me.
With that song from the quartet, I welcome you to this edition of The Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your host for this weekly Bible teaching program. I'm so glad you've joined me for The Voice of Hope today, because the subject of our program is one of the most amazing aspects of truth found in the Word of God. I'm sure you'll want to know what this amazing truth is, so keep listening. To help get us thinking about this amazing truth, I want to read a couple of paragraphs from the Confessions of St. Augustine. This bit of insight into our humanity is found in Book 2 and Chapter 4. I'm quoting Augustine from that passage. There was a pear tree close to our own vineyard, and the pear tree was heavily laden with fruit. It wasn't tempting either for its color or for its flavor. Late one night, having prolonged our games in the streets until then, as our bad habit was, a group of young scoundrels, and I among them, went to shake and rob this pear tree. We carried off a huge load of pears, not to eat ourselves, but to dump out to the hogs, after barely tasting some of them ourselves. Doing this pleased us all the more, because it was forbidden. Such was my heart, O God, which thou didst pity even in that bottomless pit. Behold, now let my heart confess to thee what it was seeking there, when I was being gratuitously wanton, having no inducement to evil, but the evil itself. It was foul, and I loved it. I loved my own undoing. I loved my error, for the error itself, a depraved soul falling away from security in thee to destruction in itself, seeking nothing from the shameful deed but shame itself. And that's the end of the quote. Do you see, my friend, what Augustine saw? He saw that the human nature delights in sin, not so much to fulfill a need, but simply to enjoy sin itself. And he realized this painful truth, that we are not sinners because we sin. No, rather we sin because we're sinners. No wonder the Apostle Paul cried out in Romans 7:24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" There's only one answer to the problem of our sin. It's the blood of Jesus Christ.
O sacred head now wounded with grief and shame weighed down, now scornfully thine only crown. O sacred head, what glory, what bliss till now was thine. Yet though despised and
yes, only the blood of Jesus can cleanse us from sin and make us new creatures, from the inside out. Now in just a few moments, Dr. Yoder will come to present from God's Word a most amazing truth. But before he does that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we confess to you that like Augustine, our hearts without the cleansing blood of Jesus are deceitful and desperately wicked. I ask that as Dr. Yoder comes to present this teaching from 2 Peter chapter 1, that you will open our hearts and minds to receive your truth. And may we stand in awe and amazement at what you have made possible through Jesus. I pray this in his name. Amen.
The Apostle Peter has a particular place in the development of the church. We remember Peter as an apostle chosen by the Lord. He was a fisherman on the Sea of Galilee when Jesus called him and said, "Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." We often look at Peter as an unkempt, rough fisherman, rough in body and spirit. we find him one of the leading disciples of Jesus. He often spoke out while the others were still thinking. That, in some measure, was a credit to him, because he was a ready spokesman. But sometimes it got him into difficulty. After Pentecost, the Apostle Peter emerged as a leader among the apostles. His restoration by the Lord on the shore of Galilee, after the resurrection, commissioned him to feed the sheep and the lambs. As he matured in his leadership role, he became more humble, I believe, because he understood that his ability was not his own. He had been anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit. So when he began his second letter to the strangers scattered abroad, he introduced himself as a servant. In fact, the word servant in this context carries with it the idea of being a bond slave. He had committed his life totally to serve the Lord. He then adds, and an apostle. The word apostle means one who has been sent with a mission. He addressed the people who would receive this letter as fellow believers. He called them that have obtained like precious faith. We need to ponder that a moment. Precious faith. Costly faith. Yes, Peter understood that his faith cost him something. But it is also equally shared, like precious faith. He was addressing those who were in the same, shall we say, family of God. What a joy! What a blessing! Oh, praise the Lord! I wish to call your attention to the fact that the Apostle Peter is leading us to understand what it means to be a partaker of God's nature. Partakers of the divine nature. That, I believe, is the ultimate. That is when we get to the highest level of the Christian life. Our nature has been tarnished by sin. When Eve and Adam sinned, they tarnished the nature of God in them and replaced that nature with a sinful nature. Every human being today has a depraved human nature. That nature cannot be remodeled. It must be replaced. That is my burden and concern for you now, that we together might understand the several procedures God uses to bring us to the high position of being partakers of His divine nature. So turn in your Bible to 2 Peter 1, and follow me as I read verses 1 through 4. That's 2 Peter 1, 1 to 4. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now let me say again, friend, that from these verses I wish to show you the several procedures God uses to bring us to the high position of being partakers of His divine nature. Ponder that just a moment. Now let me bring you to the first procedure. It is through God's righteousness. God's righteousness has no defect in it. God's righteousness is absolutely perfect, unsullied. The Bible makes it very clear that God's actions are always right. He has never done wrong. The Almighty cannot sin. So I say, His righteousness is without fault, without any fault at all. Our precious faith, then, is the result of His righteous act at Calvary when He offered His Son, His only Son, to become the sacrifice for our sins. That demonstrates without question how the righteousness of God is to be applied to us. I notice the Apostle Peter brought together two great concepts in the second verse. He said, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Think about that just a minute. God's grace pardons us. Oh yes, amen. And God's peace possesses us. Yes, praise God. So it is through God's righteousness. That's the first procedure through which God intends to bring us into the high position of being partakers of His divine nature. If we are to understand in any degree what it means to be a partaker of the divine nature, we must accept the fact of God's righteousness as contrasted with our unrighteousness. By this, we come into the like precious faith. Oh, amen. Now the second procedure I find in verse 3, through God's knowledge. Through God's knowledge, He brings us to be partakers of the divine nature. Let us reflect on God's knowledge a moment. God has full knowledge. His knowledge is all comprehensive. That is a concept which is difficult for us to measure because we are so limited in our knowledge. Some know more than others, yet the more one knows, it seems, the more he understands he needs to know. But God is what we call omniscient. That means He is all-knowing. He knows everything, actual and possible. I say that is difficult for us to comprehend because we are so limited. Limited by our lifetime. Limited by our circumstances. Limited by our capacity. But God has all knowledge. That is what the word means in verse 3. To the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Let me point out to you that by God's knowledge, He has sorted out to give us all that leads to life and godliness. God knows exactly what we need to live a godly life. He knows exactly what we need on our way to receiving the divine nature. His power releases these things to us. His dynamic power, His divine dynamic power, through His full knowledge, releases these things to us. They're now available to us, my friend. We don't need to research, because God, by His divine power and knowledge, has made all these things available. Oh, praise God! Isn't that marvelous, what God has done for us through His full knowledge? If we are to understand in any degree what it means to be a partaker of the divine nature, we must admit that the knowledge of God surrounds us and confounds us, so as to provide us with all that we need for life and godliness. Praise God! Isn't that marvelous? Now there's a third procedure, which is equally marvelous. It is through God's promises. God, through His promises, imparts unto us the divine nature. The Apostle Peter said, "His promises are great, exceeding great, and precious." Just remember, God never makes a promise He does not intend to keep. Amen. His promises are sure and steadfast. I would like to share with you some extensive comments from Barnes's Notes, Volume 10, pages 219 and 220. Here's a blessed portion. Listen carefully, and I know you will appreciate what Barnes has to say about those exceeding great and precious promises. I'm quoting now from Barnes's Notes on the New Testament. "A promise is an assurance on the part of another of some good for which we are dependent on him." And then Barnes goes on, "The promises here referred to are those which pertain to salvation. Peter had in his eyes probably all that then had been revealed which contemplated the salvation of the people of God. The promises referred to are doubtless those which are made in connection with the plan of salvation revealed in the gospel. For there are no other promises made to man. They refer to the pardon of sin, strength, comfort, and support in trial, a glorious resurrection, and a happy immortality. If we look at the greatness and the glory of the objects, we shall see that the promises are in fact exceedingly precious. And if we look at their influence in supporting and elevating the soul, we shall have as distinct a view of their value. All that we need in trial is a simple promise that God will sustain us. All that we need in the hour of death is the assurance of our God that we shall be happy forever. What would this world be without a promise? The past is gone, and its departed joys and hopes can never be recalled to cheer us again. The present may be an hour of pain and sadness and disappointment and gloom, with perhaps not a ray of comfort. The future only opens fields of happiness to our vision, and everything there depends on the will of God, and all that we can know of it is from His promises. For the promises of God, therefore, we should be in the highest degree grateful. And in the trials of life, we should cling to them with unwavering confidence as the only things which can be an anchor of the soul. End of quotation from Burns's Notes on the New Testament. Oh, praise God. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that wonderful? Well, my friend, if we are to understand to any degree what it means to be a partaker of the divine nature, we must claim the promises of God with all the rights and privileges pertaining thereto. Amen. I say again, amen. God has purposed that as believers in Jesus Christ, we are to receive and become partakers of the divine nature. To obtain this level of living with God, we must understand that God uses these three procedures to impart to us His divine nature. We do not attain it, but He imparts it to us. These are the procedures: by His righteousness, which is unsullied, by His knowledge, which is all-comprehensive, and by His promises, which are exceedingly great and precious. But we must respond by faith. Join me, friend, with that leper in the day of Jesus and say, "Lord, I believe." Amen. Now let's pray. O Lord, how marvelous is Thy plan for us, that we, whose nature has been tarnished and sullied, can now by these marvelous procedures be partakers of the divine nature. O Lord, enable my friend and me to understand this, and to find joy and blessing in the provisions Thou hast made for us. I pray in His precious name. Amen.
What a marvelous truth, my friend, that you and I can be partakers of the divine nature. I'm reminded of the fourth verse from a song titled, "The Comforter Has Come." It says, "O boundless love divine, how shall this tongue of mine to wandering mortals tell this matchless grace divine? That I, a child of sin, could in His image shine. The Comforter has come." Think of it, that I, a child of sin, could in His image shine. You know, I'm sure I don't appreciate that enough. My friend, are you a partaker of the divine nature? Has the divine power and presence of the Holy Spirit come to live in your heart and life? Are you being changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord? I hope and pray your answer to those questions is yes. But if it's not, you can become a partaker of God's divine nature. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, there's nothing that would bring me more joy than to introduce you to Him. Yes, there's a cost involved, not a financial one. He demands our all, our complete obedience, but in return, He gives all things that pertain to life and godliness. By God's grace, It's our desire to help you find the all things that pertain to life and godliness. If you write to us, we'll be happy to send a copy of this message to you. And when you do, we'll send you all the other messages from this series in Peter's Epistles. All 30 messages are available in a paperback book called Sojourners in Faith, and you can receive a copy just by writing and asking for it. Once again, the title of the book is Sojourners in Faith. If you'd like a copy, just send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or write to us at The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or you can pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. And this teaching is available on an audio CD as well. We also invite you to visit our Facebook page where you can see a daily prayer request, you can learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. It's also an easy way for you to send a message to us, and we'd love to hear from you. Once again, if you'd like a copy of the book, Sojourners in Faith, just send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or write to us at The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. Or you can log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to this teaching at your convenience. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 1-866-960-0292. We do depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. So let us hear from you today. Thanks for being with me, friend. I hope you plan to join me again next week for the Voice of Hope. We'll continue our series with a message titled, Grow in Fruitfulness. So you plan to join us. And until we meet again,
there is a storm.